Are you looking for a place on campus to make friends?
Hey everyone, this is Joseph Guido. I am CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence Project Intern. Do you love local music and supporting local arts? CFRC's annual funding drive is running until December 31st, and your gift is needed to help us provide local musicians with modern, top-of-the-line equipment, space, and technical support to better showcase their creativity on our airwaves all year round. Help us raise $25,000 this year. Make your gift today via cfrc.ca.
What's going on? What are you still working on? Tanya Dahaskigo, then on Zewa Dahu Sadache, Ungahuwa, and Hadiwa Nodus, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oska Dewa Nyawa Oska, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And it is 6 o'clock here at CFRC 101.9 FM. Ani Nichkiwink, Dukvar Quarantishikas, Minwa Sean Story. Esna Minwa, Anishinaabe, Nobaywin. Here we go. Aboriginal Voices on this gorgeous day, but if you're traveling on the 401 right now, head towards the sunset, headed west. Oh my goodness. Look out.
It's set a long time ago.
It's what?
It was set when I came in.
Oh, right.
In fact, it was practically gone.
No, but the traffic is really bad. Did you see that?
What?
Was it bad for you when you were coming along the 401?
No.
Oh, good.
Why would it be?
Going west.
West?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so they've
possibly
cleaned it up.
West.
They've cleaned it up. Anyway.
Why? Was there a problem again?
There was this afternoon, yeah.
Oh,
a lot of sakes. Trucks moving and crawling along the highway.
Oh, yeah. No.
Anyway, so
right.
That's good for all those folks who are headed to Toronto or beyond. And the folks headed for Montreal and in between Kingston and Montreal, they've got a clear sailing, apparently. All right. Now, I'm not sure when you came on campus, Sean, did you notice that all of the flags here at Queen's University
are half-mast?
Actually,
I didn't. It was dark out there.
Okay.
But I assumed...
Oh, good for you.
...that it would most likely be done, that they should be down.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Marie Sinclair has passed on November 4th. That was Sunday?
Yesterday.
Oh, gosh, that was yesterday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It feels like last week.
No.
Anyways. First name, Calvin.
Calvin Murray?
Calvin Murray Sinclair.
Oh.
He's a CCOMMSC.
Queen's Counsel. That's the highest you can get in the law.
How do you get Queen's Counsel out of that? CC.
Sorry. I thought you said QC.
Why would I say QC?
Clearly. He's an Order of
CC,
Canada.
So he is an Order.
He's a companion.
He is an Order of Canada.
Yeah.
So he's a Canadian politician, a member of the Senate, and a First Nations lawyer who served as chairman of the Indian Residential Schools Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
When was he born?
Oh, gosh. 1951.
Okay. So... I heard.
So not all that long ago.
No. Oh, it was 73 or something like that.
I don't know.
Believe me.
I can't do that.
So he was born in 1951, and I think it was June 1951 that the Canadian government made changes to the Indian Act that allowed for people like Murray Sinclair to go to university or to become a doctor or a lawyer or, you know, even to go and leave the reserve without having to get a pass to leave.
Yeah. It's nice that you say it that way.
Mm-hmm. But?
Well, it sucks.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, why should... they have had to have a right from a government to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, raise your money and go to school. It shouldn't be like that. It should have never been like that.
And that's the fight that...
It's a good thing he became a lawyer. Claire he went and dealt
took
with
on,
things.
Yeah. Anyway, you and I have spent time over the last, since 1994, talking a little bit about Murray Sinclair, because our interactions have been with his work. First, that was in the 1990s with, he was the head of an inquiry in Manitoba for pediatric cardiac care. And, I didn't realize at the time how much of an impact that would have on me many years later to find out that he was actually the person that everybody went to find out what was happening with Indigenous children and pediatric care in the cardiac wards. So, yeah, it's interesting to see. Where we bumped into him later was when he did, he took from the Aboriginal people's, the RCAP, the Royal Commission on the Aboriginal People, and they found that there were a whole lot of things that had to be done over many years, and Murray Sinclair said, we're going to have to deal with this issue with the residential schools, and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was formed, and they asked him to be one of three, people who from the Indigenous communities to guide the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and then he was elected chair of that commission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when I really got to know him. I was able to go to Ottawa. The day before they actually gave the report, the official report, to the Government of Canada. And Murray Sinclair had organized a gathering of high school students. Over 1,500 students from Eastern Ontario went to Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
And there were many workshops about what was learned by the commissioners of the TRC. And I went representing you and Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC, and I got a chance to actually meet with him. But the interesting thing was that we were told as media that we were not allowed to broadcast anything about what is in the TRC until after it is given officially to the government.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So,
well, that's not surprising.
No, but I got to meet other journalists.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Who? Peter Mansbridge was there.
Oh.
Yeah, I got to chat with him for about two or three minutes.
Pete Mansbridge.
But Bob Gishick-Rice, he was there for Ottawa Television, the CBC Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, I don't know if you remember, but we were able to get an audio with Bob about that process he'd gone through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Murray Sinclair did give us some information. And the next time I got a chance to meet him or chat with him was here at Queen's University when he became chancellor. And that was really interesting. Janice Hill was there.
Of course she was.
Did an introduction to Murray Sinclair and welcomed him to Queen's University. And now that he's died, the chancellor position was supposed to be filled January 1st, but it will be November 11th.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right here from 2 o'clock till, I think, 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I learned that CFRC is going to broadcast that whole convocation or the whole investiture of Sheila Rogers as our new chancellor. but there will be a chance at that before that to recognize Murray Sinclair.
Very nice.
Yes. So I hope you and I get a chance to go to that.
Maybe, yeah. You look at his life and you think to yourself, well, he was only 73?
Yeah.
He did young. Certainly do a lot in his 73 years. Mm-hmm. The world is that much better for having him in it.
That's why I brought up the change in the Indian Act that allowed someone like Murray Sinclair to go to university.
Again, yeah, but you think about all the ones who were unable to get to university. Yeah. Have careers of that stature.
Mm-hmm. So we're... Our condolences are going out to Negan that we do know. He's been a guest here at Aboriginal Voices over the years, and to all of his siblings and the grandchildren. So they're very busy in Winnipeg right now. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I would like to play. A piece that Murray Sinclair gave us that is important because of the TRC asking for recognition and having a national day.
Yeah.
And it became September 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a national day until 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. But Murray Sinclair gave a 10, 11-minute talk. So I'd like to share that with you, and then we're going to end with one of Robbie Robertson's pieces of music with the Ulali and Mok Chi. Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, everybody. As Chancellor of Queen's University, I'm glad to be able to take some time today to be able to address you on the new national holiday for reconciliation that was one of the calls to action for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada, which I was also proud to chair. The call to action that gave rise to this national holiday was an important one as part of our discussions, because when we looked at the entire work that we had done, we came to a realization that most of the people that we had spoken to in the general public told us that they knew nothing about this. Nobody had ever disclosed to them what happened as part of Canada's history. And no one had ever told them, in fact, that there was even a residential school system. There were so many people out there who had come from many generations of Canadians going back to the 1600s and 1700s, who had no idea that residential schools existed and that children were being taken from their families, often against the will of the families, in order to be placed in those institutions. And they certainly never knew anything about what went on in those schools, and particularly the levels of abuse that occurred. The survivors themselves, of course, had been trying to get their message out for a long time. They were talking to the media, they were talking to the general public, they would talk to whoever would listen to them. But no one picked up on that message. Partly, I think, because there were so many people who just didn't believe that it could happen in this country. One of the impacts of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, in my view, is that now people believe. Now people understand that it did happen. Now people realize that, in fact, this is part of Canada's history. This is part of what has given rise to this nation. But it's not a part in which we can take pride. It's not a part in which we as Canadians, those who have generations of ancestors that go back to the beginning of time, can say, as is a part of our history that we can proudly hold up to the rest of the world and say, look how good we are, because we can't. We weren't. Therefore, the question of how to acknowledge that, but also to put into it a message of hope for reconciliation, of hope that we can come to terms with this past, of hope that we will be able to establish a new and better relationship between ourselves as Indigenous people and non-Indigenous people, can in fact be the pathway to the future. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of time. When I was chairing the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I realized, of course, that getting to the truth was hard, but getting to the reconciliation is going to be harder. We know that there are people who are going to resist telling the truth of the story, but more importantly, there are people who are not going to quite realize the magnitude of the change that we are calling for in this country. We are not only calling for people to understand this truth and to accept it, but we're also calling on people to recognize that there came with it benefits and privileges that now are bestowed upon the settler population, that were bestowed at great cost to Indigenous people. The loss of land, the loss of resources, the loss of access to their own potential as human beings is part of the price that Indigenous people have paid for the existence of this nation. So we need people to understand that. We need people to think about that. But we also need to get people to think about what is it that we can do properly to come to terms with this? What, in fact, are the changes that we need to start to think about? One of them is we have to learn how to talk to and about each other with greater respect than has been the case in the past. Our education system in the residential schools was bad. There's no question of that. We worked hard to take away language, culture, and a sense of history, a sense of validity from Indigenous people. But it also did the same thing in the public schools as well. The public education system that most people in this country have received spent a great deal of time in talking about the history of this country, in saying that colonialism was good, in saying that Indigenous people stood in the way of national trends, that Indigenous people, in fact, didn't have any rights, that they were heathens, they were savages, they were less than the settler population. And then, in fact, mythologies grew up in part of our public education system, and that is that we were told, and I can remember being told this in the public schools, that Indigenous people were lucky that Europeans came here and saved them from extinction. We were told that, in fact, we didn't have a culture worth protecting. We didn't have a tradition that was worth respecting as well. But what does that do to you as an individual? Well, it belittles you. Not only belittles you in the eyes of others, but it belittles you to yourself. You feel a sense of shame just about being Indigenous. You feel, in fact, that anything that's going on in your own life that shows an inadequacy, your inability to play sports at the same level or at all as others, is because there's something wrong with you. It's your fault, or your family's fault, or your community's fault. There are lots of other examples of situations like that. The poverty that we experienced growing up as Indigenous people, we were led to believe, was because of our own inadequacies. Our parents, we were told, couldn't hold down jobs. Our parents had drinking problems. Our parents were inadequate as parents. Our children now are being taken away from Indigenous families in large numbers, partly because of this legacy from residential schools, this mythology that Indigenous families can't be trusted to raise their children properly. On the scantiest of evidence. Babies are being taken away from mothers right in the hospitals just after they are born. Not because the mother has done anything wrong, but because the mother might do something wrong. She might not be able to parent properly. And when she has, in fact, proven that she can, then by that time that she's ready to take her child back, they'll tell her the child is already bonded with another family. There are lots of legacies of residential schools out there for us to see. One of them also is this. All people who have gone to public schools in this country have been taught that myth of inferiority on the part of Indigenous people. But they've also been taught the myth of European superiority. They've been taught that European civilizations that came here were far more advanced than Indigenous civilizations, and that's just not true. They're taught that Indigenous people lacked civilization laws and ways of self-governing, and that settler populations brought those wonderful practices here, and that they're much better off as a result. But in fact, that is not the case. We need to come to an understanding of what the legacy of residential schools is, not only for Indigenous people, but the legacy of the residential school system and the public school system is for non-Indigenous people as well. And ultimately, this process of coming to terms with this past, of reconciling our relationship, means that we have to aim towards establishing a relationship of mutual respect. But keep in mind that in order for us to get there, firstly, Indigenous people need to be given the opportunity to develop their self-respect. And that's going to take us some time. We may not achieve reconciliation within my lifetime or within the lifetime of my children, but we will be able to achieve it if we all commit to working towards it properly. And part of that commitment is that every year we will stand up together and we will say, never again. What we did was wrong in this country, and we will never allow that to happen again. So on September 30th, I ask you to stand up. I ask you to take the time to think about all of that. I ask you to commit to a better relationship with and between settlers, population, non-Indigenous people, and Indigenous people in this country, so that as a country we can say that we are the better for it, that we have learned from this, and that we will continue to learn from this until we know that all of the impacts of the residential school system have been put in their proper place. Thank you for this time to be able to speak with you. Miigwech. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love, too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.
Every day you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The Charts on CFRC.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbors Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
Sean, that was DJ Shub with Smoke Dance. And before that, we had Robbie Robertson with Mock Chi, along with Ulali doing that song. So now the Smoke Dance was a little more upbeat than I had expected it to be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sorry about that. But anyway. But anyway, this was DJ Shub with electronic version of Smoke Dance. All right.
All righty.
Yep.
Hey, yes. Doug.
What's up?
CFRC is Kingston's only campus community access radio station. We provide music, news, and views on local issues and events that are unavailable in other local media. CFRC supports a vibrant, democratic, and healthy local community.
If you're not sure about the vibrant part, listen in. 24 hours a day.
Wait, I've got more.
Oh, okay.
If you care about having a healthy community, support CFRC Radio by donating now.
Oh, how do I do that?
By donating now.
Yes, but how would I donate? Stop by the station?
So you can donate now through the CFRC.ca website for a tax receipt or a gift. You can't have both.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, that's
like
a great
tax
idea.
Tax receipt is kind of like a gift.
It's a huge gift.
Well, depends on how much you donate, I guess. Or you can call our pledge line at 613-533-CFRC. That would be 613-533-2372.
Perfect. So which way are you going to do it? Electronically, probably, because you're a techno wizard. So
that depends.
Yeah.
I might leave some here in the cup.
Oh, I see.
The cup that's just over there.
But I think that's important to people to understand that from November 1st till the 31st of December this year.
I should have picked this one. Oh, okay. Don't want to do this one? Well, let's do this one.
Go ahead. I can't see them from way over here.
CFRC supports the local music scene.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, right?
Well, we did. We heard that last week, didn't we?
Sorry, there was more to it. The local music scene in Kingston, like no other station or organization. We play music and interview local artists, co-sponsor and organize concerts and musical events. Record and broadcast local music and promote upcoming gigs around town in support of the local music scene.
There you go.
So.
We've seen a number of bands coming to the station and through this fall, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah. But there's more, Doug.
Okay.
If you love local music made and played right here in your community, donate to CFRC 101.9 FM.
And by the way, you would go to CFRC.ca to do that.
You can go to CFRC.ca for a tax receipt or a gift.
Mm-hmm. Take a look at some of the gifts there.
Or you can call our pledge line at 613-533-CFRC.
If you go online, and I did this.
Is it already? Let me look. Well, I see. Because now I'm like, maybe I won't.
Go to the front page there and you'll see, you know, funding drive. Donate.
Donate now. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you'll see a number of options.
Give to Queens.
Oh. Keep going.
So you donate, it says here you can donate $10.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bottom basement, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bottom basement. If you can see it within your pocketbook, your billfold.
There you go.
$10. $10 would be a nice gift. Let's see. So they go along here and say, funding drive, yada, yada. We want to get down here to the gifts. So 10 to 25, you get a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Or a pen, pin, and 3 song requests on your favorite show, plus 1 raffle ticket for every $5 donated.
Oh, so if you give $10, you get 2 raffle tickets. That's nice.
I don't know. I think that's how it works. It sounds like an either or thing.
No,
No, well, that's what it sounds like.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
We better clarify that for
we'll
next week.
Call. Whoever came up with this system, give us a call. 26 to 50 donation. You can have all of the above plus a new CFRC tote bag.
Ooh.
And a set of CFRC cork coasters, plus 1 raffle ticket for every $5 donated.
There you go. So that's
up
right.
Up to 10 tickets. Oh, okay. So you do get it. Nice. Like a little extra.
That's right. Yeah. Wait a sec. You can do it online at cfrc.ca and the donate button.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Or you could call.
But you could. You could show up during work day hours.
Yeah.
Like you show up and you park and you come down here and you knock, ring the bell or whatever it is. Oh, we have a phone, don't we?
Yes.
That's right. So you pick up the phone and it rings through and somebody will come and open the door for you.
Wait a sec. That phone number you gave, CFRC, it's 613-533-CFRC.
CFRC, yeah.
That comes right into this control room. Now, we're going to have a problem because we can't hear it right now.
I wondered when I seen it here, so maybe don't call now. Call in a little while.
Maybe they divert it to the people who are online waiting
for
calls.
I hope so.
You know?
I hope so. I hope that's what's going on. $50 to $99 donation. So you get all that stuff from above. You also get coupons to Smokes Poutine. Poutinery. Plus 1 raffle ticket for every $5. And yada, yada. Okay. $100 to $250. What do you think, Doug?
You get a tote bag and a few other things.
No, you don't. You get all of the above. And a choice of a toque, playing cards, or a t-shirt while supplies last.
I want a new toque.
Yeah? Well, $250 then.
There you go.
$251 plus donation. And it is all of the above plus free tickets to what? I don't know. 1 hour guest spot for you and your pals to join us on air and play your favorite songs live from our studios. Free tickets to CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence Capstone Concert in 2025. Plus, Doug, all of this can be yours. Plus 1 raffle ticket for every $5 donated. I don't even know how to count that. I don't think I can count that high. But that's impressive. But yeah, I agree with you for the tote bag. I tell this story every year, but over there in Watertown, they were always doing this thing, doing the donate to
PBS.
PBS, that's it. PBS. I think it was WXXI. It was Carthage Watertown.
There you go.
And we're broadcasting from Carthage, Watertown.
No, we're not. We're broadcasting from...
No, that's like the PBS.
Oh, I see.
And they would... and you can... for $25, you get a tote bag or whatever it is. I think it was more like 50. It was back in the day. Tote bags were hard to come by. And it had a right on the side, like WXXI. I'm going to have to look it up now because I'm wondering if...
Oh, no, you just leave it to them.
No, PBS.
We're going to continue with the CFRC 101.9. And this is Aboriginal Voices on CFRC.
Oh, WPBS.
There you go. Makes sense to me.
Well, and where's WXXI?
It is. Yeah, I'll leave that with you because I have a song ready to go.
Go for it.
Oh, okay. Tara Williamson. And actually, this is a pretty good one. It's called Enough. And just think of that word for a second. Oh, I've had enough of that.
Thank you. avant-garde. I'm staring at the ceiling. I never got good talk on Illinois. Daconataka. I don't know what I'm seeing. I never got good talk on Illinois.
Sean, that's Twin Flames with Without Tears. Lovely song. Guess what?
Hello, CFRC listeners. This is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st, and you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC hit our $25,000 fundraising goal this year by donating today at cfrc.ca.
Well, you know, that's interesting here on Aboriginal Voices that... Hey, that's a great idea for donating.
What's that?
You talked about donating earlier, but there's a reason to donate it for local news. Because I know Christina does a lot of really, well, spends a lot of time getting to meet people in the Kingston area or around this area, and also contributes to a collective that of campus radio stations share a fair bit. So anyway, I was just looking at what we were playing. We had Twin Flames with Without Tears. Before that, Tara Williamson, Enough. I liked the way she talked about enough. It's not just that's enough or, you know, but do you have enough? Or another term would be, is there enough for everyone in our community?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I like that one. You have to go back and listen to the song several times. And I apologize to you, Sean, about the smoke dance song. It was a lot faster than I had expected.
Yeah, I kind of thought it would be something. I know
you had your moccasins on, ready to dance, but.
Hey, Doug.
Yes.
CFRC is for you.
Is it?
CFRC is brought to you by community volunteers who are real people.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you, Doug.
Okay.
Volunteers from all walks of life, students to seniors, produce the programming, play the music, interview the guests, record concerts, lectures, and community events for broadcast, Doug.
Mm-hmm. You picked this one to share with everybody just because it says seniors, right?
To do community outreach and produce our public service announcements.
Nice.
We care deeply about music, art, and the issues affecting our community.
Well, they do. We've seen a lot of artists come through here. Not just, well, we have the poetry that comes on Friday nights, right? Finding a Voice. And all the people who write poetry and then they share it on the well, on the radio, but also in a community setting. You know, we hear Cindy Sabo with her comedy show.
Well, oh, yes.
Yeah. Actually, absolutely frivolous.
Yeah.
She tries to bring a smile every week.
Yeah, every week, every week. And usually she does. Mm-hmm. Ask me, Douglas.
What's that? Ask you what?
I don't know. That's all it says here. Donate now to CFRC to help us grow opportunities to welcome new community volunteers to our airwaves and podcasts.
I met one today.
You met a podcast?
No, one of the new, possibly new programmers.
No way.
Yeah, she was here with one of the programmers who was giving her introduction to everything. And so when they finished up, they came around to see what I was doing, getting ready in the control room, ready to go. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we had a short chat, wasn't very long. And like your chat with me right now, you've got about 20 seconds.
Donate now through CFRC.ca for a tax receipt or a gift. Or you can call us at our pledge line at 613-533-CFRC. That number again is 613-533-2372.
That's very good. Yeah.
These are fun. Let's do some more.
Well, first you're going to do something special.
What am I going to do?
Top of the